The following was recorded in front of a live studio audience at the Studio 21 Podcast Cafe. This is the United Podcast Network.
It's the Cigar Authority After Show, and it's brought to you by Roma Craft Tobacco. Since 2010, Mike Rosales and Skip Barton have focused on the simple and time-honored task of combining quality tobacco, experienced craftsmen, and the right amount of time to bring you cigars worthy of the legacy of the centuries of premium cigar craftsmen that came before them. Whether you are revisiting the anti-prohibition era mindset of intemperance or getting in touch with your more primal side with a Cro-Magnon and Neanderthal, you are sure to find a blend in the Roma Craft House of Brands that fits the exact balance of flavor, strength, and body you are looking for in that moment. When you're finally able to take a short break from the world to relax and enjoy a cigar, the last thing you need is a complicated sales pitch. Simple yet substantial. Tobacco, talent, time. Roma Craft Tobacco.
The after show. The after show. It's the after show, everybody. And I know what you're thinking. You're saying, I got a big birthday coming up, and I would like to buy myself a gift for my birthday. I would like a new humidor, but custom made. Something made just for me. Because nobody's going to buy you that. And if they did buy it, it wouldn't be perfect the way you'd want it. You want it exactly the way you want it. I know two people that have custom made humidors. I don't even have one myself. I got a pretty damn nice humidor I'll tell you about. But the first one was a customer of mine from years ago, and I remember him coming over to me at the store. This was across the street, a good 25 years ago maybe, and he told me the money he spent on this humidor, which was, to me, unbelievable large amount. Oh, my God. But it had to be a good 25 years ago, so I think he got his money's worth, and he happens to be right here, Ed Sullivan.
Yes, and I would guess, 24 years ago, I think I got that in 1998.
And wow.
It was just over $10,000, which was me, more money in those days.
Yes, which seemed like, oh, my God, that's unbelievable. But now you got, what, $500 into it a year?
Yeah, it's been well worth it for me. And a big part of the cost was I went with exotic woods. Mm. So it's quilted maple, which is a very figured wood.
Doesn't make the humidor work any better.
It does not.
No.
Looks pretty as hell, though.
It's still lined with Spanish cedar. Mm. So, and then it's got some ebony inlay and solid ebony legs on it. So, very, very beautiful looking.
And it even has a name.
Does it?
Elon Lisk, whatever.
Oh, the guy who made it?
Yes.
Yeah, it was a gentleman named Arlen Liss. Who, as far as I can tell, no longer makes humidors. So okay. That may not be an option for people. But,
He was a humidor maker, or he was a cabinet maker, or what was he?
He started as a cabinet maker, and then, during the boom, although by 98, but he started making custom humidors because he saw the opportunity. And so with him, he already had many examples of it, which was helpful. Right.
So this was, you found him online back in those days?
Mm-hmm.
There was internet in 1998?
Mm-hmm.
There was.
So you saw it, you said, oh my God, this looks like a nice thing. I'm buying myself a humidor.
Right, and he had different examples, Some look like other things, armoires and all this.
Okay.
This one is more like a chest of drawers.
Okay.
So it's got four drawers for singles. And all of those have compartments reconfigurable to
have
house.
You officially added me to your will so that finds a good home?
It's got to find a good home. I mean,
yeah.
Well, you can just invite yourself over.
$10,000 humidor from the 90s.
Yeah. And
just make sure I'm on the will for that one,
all right,
Sullivan.
And then there are two larger drawers where you can put boxes of cigars in them. And down at the bottom are the mechanicals. So it's active humidification, which is the original from 24 years ago. And all I've ever done with that is add distilled water.
Okay.
That's it. So for me, it was well worth the investment. And it's a thing of beauty. My wife says, that is so nice. It's too bad it's for cigars.
Was that your wife then too?
Yep.
And at the beginning of making that purchase, you know, you were doing good in those days anyway, but still, of $10,000 humidor, you out of your mind?
Well, we were, you know, into IPO.
Okay.
I mean, if the cigar boom was fading, that was primetime.com.
Yes.
So the money was flowing enough where she couldn't keep track of it all.
All right.
So I don't know if she, I don't think she knows what I ever paid for it.
A thing of beauty is a joy forever.
It is. It really is. So, yeah, that's, to me, it's been well worth it.
And so you had to deal with this cabinet maker
mm-hmm.
and give your, I want this, I want that. It's handpicking each thing.
And he had so many examples. I'd say, you know, I like this, but I'd rather have that.
Okay.
And so we just sort of crafted it.
And the day it arrived, was it exceeded your expectations or?
Absolutely exceeded, just because.
You could tell by how excited he sounds just talking about
yes,
it.
Yes, yes, all this time.
He could barely contain himself. Look, he almost smiled.
I almost smiled, but the thing about quilted maple is it's very hard to capture what it looks like in pictures. You know, you see the figuring, but it has almost a 3D look.
It totally does. Yeah. It totally does.
Which you don't capture in the pictures, but in real life.
And you have to be.
Have you seen it?
You've seen it? Oh, yeah.
He's invited himself over a few times.
I know how that works, Ed Sullivan.
You have to be a damn near master woodworker to mm-hmm. get the finishing right on something like quilted maple, because you can fuck it up by not going through the right pattern of sanding.
Yeah.
It's such a hard wood. You really have to know your shit to be comfortable.
So the next one that I have that has one made for him is Mr. Jonathan.
So mine is interesting because my brother, he went to look at some shop tools. He bought a house that has a wood shop, but he didn't have shop tools. And this guy was selling shop tools and the...
What's a shop tool?
Like a giant table saw and a drill press.
Okay.
So the guy that's selling the shop tools... He wants to interview the person who's going to buy them. It says it on the ad. Must be pass interview. So my brother says, fuck it. He goes and sees the shop tools and he passes the interview. The guy loves them. They're the same person 40 years apart. This guy will not give up the shop tools unless the person is going to use them in their wood shop and take care of them. That's what the guy's concerned about. These are his babies. So the guy's so impressed with my brother that he gives him his prized woodworking books. And my brother reads them cover to cover. And in one of the books is this old school wooden slide that you would build a drawer slide out of with stops built in. And you see them mostly on 80s tables, the oak slides, so you could put the leaf in.
Okay, got
it. And it has the stop, so the table just doesn't come apart.
I know it.
If you put that on a drawer, now you can pull the drawer all the way out of the unit and get all the way to the back. And that's what that slide's for.
All right.
So he says, I'm going to build you a humidor that is all out of wood. And this is going to be the slides for the drawers. And I said, okay, I'm in. I give him the money for the materials. I had zero say in what the woods were going to be. He said, we're making it out of poplar. I said, okay. We're going to do barrel design on the doors. I said, okay. And I built one door, he built the other. The door he needs to fix.
I need a place for full boxes so I can age them. And
that was the only thing, was I needed to make sure that I could store boxes in it. But there's a huge space in the top for boxes, and then there's drawers for singles.
Okay. All right. Because singles, I don't like storing singles.
No, I also had Arlen Liss build me a desktop that I put singles in. You know.
After the fact?
Yeah.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
What did that cost you? $5,000?
Maybe three at the time.
Jesus.
When I grow up, I want to be Ed Sullivan.
That one is also very beautiful.
You need the strength and character to be able to pull off a thing like that.
It's time for Incredible Feats of Strength, brought to you by Camacho Cigars. For 6 decades, Camacho have been working hard to build the best damn cigar around, and they have gotten through it all by sticking to their vision. The strength to do anything they set their hand to. Camacho Cigars.
And today we're going to talk about the strongest odor known to man.
Strongest odor.
And fat guy on a hot summer day.
I believe that it is pronounced thioacetone. Thioacetone.
Can you eat it?
It's sure.
Yeah.
It's an intensely foul odor, like many other low molecular weight organosulfur compounds. Sulfur. The smell is potent and can be detected even when highly diluted. In 1889, an attempt to distill the chemical in the German city Freiburg, it was followed by cases of vomiting, nausea, and unconsciousness in an area with a radius of 0.75 kilometers around the laboratory, meaning the doors were closed, and them distilling this in the laboratory, people on the outside were passing out.
For almost a mile around.
Jeez. In an 1890 report, British chemists at the Whitehall Soap Works in Leeds noted that the dilution seemed to make the smell worse and described the smell as fearful. It's considered a dangerous chemical due to its extremely foul odor and the ability to render people unconscious, induce vomiting, and wow. be detected over long distances. Wow. Thioacetone.
Huh.
Sulfur has a bad smell.
Yeah.
This is one of the sulfur compounds. This is like probably rotten eggs to the millionth power.
And what about the smelliest fruit? Durian.
Yes, I remember that.
Smells like rotting corpses, yeah. really.
Can you eat it?
Yeah, it's somewhat popular in Asia, but
of course.
It's banned
it's
from...
it's a delicacy. When you hear those words, yeah. run. Don't walk.
Banned from the subways, though.
Yeah, can't use it in the subway because the people in the other cars...
People that take leftover fish, first of all, there should be no such thing as leftover fish. That is cat food. You throw that shit away.
Yep.
But the people that take that into work and then microwave it, and that's what they're going to eat for lunch, you just ruined everybody else's lunch.
And they should burn in the fires of hell eternity.
I agree. All my guys know that's one of the things I say in the interview. Do you microwave your fish?
Really?
Because you're not doing that here. You just have to know that before you take the job.
I don't think I ever have, but that's interesting. But isn't there frozen foods that you put in the microwave and it's a fish dinner or something like that? Yeah. There must be.
Groton's, Mrs. Paul's, they all have that metal or reflective, crisper.
Yeah.
A lot of those ones are fried fish,
yes.
So they have a coating on them, so you might not get as much stench out of them.
We're not microwaving fish of any kind for any reason.
I never knew that was one of your things.
Oh, I'm very against it.
What about ketchup on fried food?
No. Someone wants to put ketchup on their shit, that's fine.
What?
But I don't want ketchup on even one or two fries if I was going to eat fries again.
What about butter on a Pop-Tart?
So freaking good.
It is. Were you ever a ketchup guy? Never?
Probably the first time I had it, I hated it.
So, do you put ketchup on the side, Barry?
On the side.
Not ever put like an animal on the side?
No, I like to dip it.
Yeah, that leads to very poor distribution.
I like it every once in a while. Like, I feel like getting frisky, and then I put the ketchup on the
listen,
like that.
Dude, you have
a drizzle?
Yeah.
Well, you have much more control if it's in a squirt bottle, right?
Yes.
But if it's just in the big bottle, you might blub, right?
Yeah, you need to spank it, and then
poutine.
It flies out.
Poutine,
remember
can
the
drizzle.
Old bottle that you had to hit that?
Oh, yeah.
The whole the trick, bottom you tap the 57. That's the trick.
How would you know? You don't even eat. Anyway, I have a humidor, but the best I ever did was actually get a standing unit, which is the best thing I ever did. I have one in the office. I have one at home. I should have did this 100 years ago. If you all listen to this and you consider yourself to say, I'm going to be a cigar smoker and I'm going to keep being a cigar smoker, you need to do this.
Yep.
The one I have is called Humidor Supreme Tower. The tower with shelves. Says it holds 2,000 to 3,000 cigar capacity. It does. It's 22.5 inches wide, 16.5 inches deep, 72 inches high. Tempered glass in the front. Front mount with a humidifier, hygrometer that's on there. Five shelves that are adjustable. It had drawers and stuff. I took them out.
It has one shelf that's not adjustable, and that is for the structure
yes.
to hold. It also has casters.
Dividers on there if you're going to use it. And at the beginning, I did. I had a big, deep thing with a whole bunch of singles in it. I got off that completely. If I have singles, I just put it a little to the side. I use whole boxes. And even if there's only three cigars left in the box, I get down to one. Maybe I'll put that one in there and dump the box at that point. But they stay so much better if you leave the cigars in a box. They have wheels on there, easily to remove if you wanted to.
The casters are locking, so you can just step on the lock and hold them in place. It really is good for being able to move around for cleaning.
Lock and key, which I leave the key in the door anyway, because I actually like when it's locked. It seems to seal it because it's a front open thing that seals it even better.
There's two other things about that door that are noteworthy. Aside from the lock, they have the clip closers on the top and bottom, and then down the edge of the door, because in earlier versions of this, they didn't put magnets. Now you have magnets on the edges of the door because the doors used to warp over time, because again, you've got wood and the inside is one humidity and the outside is another. It causes warping. So they learned and they put the magnets in along with the friction closers and the locking mechanism. The door stays true and it holds it.
And this is a Chinese made. This isn't fancy wood. It's probably a lot of particle board with veneer on it. There's nothing. It looks nice, but there's no way this is the woods you're talking about by any means. But the price is dramatically different on there. It has two AC outlets inside the humidor, and there's a plug on the outside of it. So you plug that into the wall, and inside, now you can put your active humidifier that's in there, and you could plug in lights if you wanted lights inside there, which people have done and looks beautiful. I still have never done that. It must be shipped by a truck. That's the problem. The thing is gigantic. So $1,200, and let me tell you, nobody makes money on this. If you see it out there for $1,400, they're probably making a couple hundred. If you see it out there for $1,800, they're making some money on it. If you see it for $1,200, which is what we sell it for, or anybody that's out there, you're going to see at $1,200. Nobody makes money on it, including the company that we buy it from. They say it too, that there's really no money in this product. This is something so that we hope that you'll buy cigars.
In their case, it's, all right, we bought 500 other humidors from you that you made money on.
Yes.
Give us 10 of these.
Yeah.
I know you're not making any money, but we had a sizable order.
And we wait a long period of time to get it, as much as 9 months sometimes to get it. So if you're interested in getting one, you let us know and we'll ship it directly to your home.
Didn't a couple of our favorite people just get them, right?
Yeah. Well, they ordered a long time ago. Yep, they ordered a long time ago, but they finally got it. And that $1,200 doesn't include humidification. You have options for humidification.
The unit to get is the Cigar Oasis with the baffle. And the reason why that's so important is when the fan kicks on, the baffle opens because of air pressure and it humidifies the space. When the fan shuts off, the humidification shuts off, meaning the baffle closes. No more moisture comes out, so you don't end up with moisture spikes in your unit. Those old moistened airs, they just keep evaporating.
Well, that's what I use the old moistened air in the one I have in my office because I had it for so long.
Sure.
And at the one at home I have is the Oasis that I end up using, which is a better unit, no doubt about it. And I will switch it one day.
Yeah, when that one dies. Work. Yeah, when it dies.
So why let it go? And I'm next to it. I make sure I sit next to it every day. And
About the Cigar Oasis that there's a part that's pretty cool, but I don't like that you have to keep paying for it, is they have an app that you can connect your phone to the unit through Bluetooth and through Wi-Fi, and you pay a subscription fee to be able to see what your humidification
is. Can you turn your head and take a look at it once in a while?
That's what I do.
There are people with humidity scan out there that track it while at work, freaking out. It's and telling their wife to do something.
And another option, too, if you don't want to pay ongoing, there's a company called Govi that makes hygrometers. And you can get a little, if you want to go over Wi-Fi, you can get a little base unit. So it'll communicate, and then you can use the app,
it's
no
ridiculous.
Cost.
So what happens with the unit you're talking about, Oasis, is the hygrometer itself blinks when it drops below what you're asking it to do because it can't find water, right? So you don't have enough water in it. You didn't fill it up. You forgot about it for 4 months, and it starts blinking. And it's starting to show you now, oh, I'm at 65, and now I'm at 64, and it just keeps blinking.
Yeah.
You're going to notice it one of these days, and nothing went wrong. You went from your 68 where you wanted to be down to 65. It's been blinking for obviously for 4 or 5 days, dropped 3 degrees into it. And I say, oh, geez, it's blinking. Let me add the water and drop 3 degrees. Stop freaking out.
Mine kicks on at 58% and shuts off at 60. It's got a 2-point swing on it. I don't know how I programmed it to do that. I don't remember, but when I got it, that's what I did. And my cigars smoke so perfect.
Yeah, and don't go to 70, by the way. And I've done it. It's a little too much.
Mine's at 62.
Wow, you guys are both 60 and 62.
Well, we both smoke stronger. We both smoke stronger cigars, and stronger cigars thicker. To get that Ligero to really combust, you want it drier. Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. So maybe I'll drop mine down and I can save a little distilled water, probably 3, 4, 5 cents a year. That right, over time, my God, might be a quarter.
Because, you know, from springtime until the heat goes back on, I never have to fill mine. And then maybe 3 times during the winter.
Correct. That's when it ends up happening.
I agree. Everybody I speak to online, they say their cigars go out on them in the summer, and I ask what's your humidifier at, and they're like 70. I'm like, bring it down to 62, 60 even, because you're going to go outside, it's humid. They'll smoke better. That 70-70 is a mess.
Oh, yeah.
It's horrible.
That was somebody that created a humidifier called the 70-70. Do you remember that?
Well, and that's because it just happens to be the properties of propylene glycol.
Mixed with distilled water.
Right.
Yes. All right, so that's it for the after show. Custom-made humidors or buy something like that Humidor Supreme. The bigger the better. It's always a problem of people buying the small one, and you end up like me and having 9 small ones till you finally end up cutting to the chase. Maybe someday I'll even get one made just for me, but I'm liking the one I have.
All right. Stick the lid in your mouth. You might like it.
The views and opinions expressed by the hosts, guests, or callers of this program do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the Studio 21, Podcast Cafe, the United Podcast Network, its partners or affiliates.